Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. In his Christmas message titled Lights and Darkness, Reverend David Williams tells us that with Christmas, God has made everything new. There is new hope. We can change our earthly focus of self to the love of God's kingdom by letting the Christmas light shine in us. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Reading Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20. Let's continue to listen for God's word. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Christmas is a season, a time of beginnings. And one of those beginnings is a little hard for us to wrap our heads around on this particular evening. And that beginning is the beginning of winter. I mean, winter? That was 3 days ago it was supposed to start, and Lord, it don't feel that way. Because the night air out there as we were coming here was warm and moist from today's rains, and it's late May. I mean, it's late May, right? And there's barely even a whisper of winter's bite in the air. Bleak midwinter, we're really going to sing that tonight? It's like, what? And it's an evening when, you know, it's good King Wenceslas, and he's slogging through the mud on the feast of Stephen with murky puddles in the dinted sod where his foot had printed. And if you try to sing "You're Dreaming of a White Christmas," just be sure that you're nowhere near anyone who works in the East Coast ski industry, because it's Christmas and it's not nice to make people cry. This is a bizarre, paradoxically un-Christmassy Christmas, more Maui than Montgomery County. But Christmas is always a little bit of a peculiar celebration, no matter what the temperature outside. Because this is a day when we celebrate beginnings and newness by doing the same thing we do every year. A weird paradox there. On the one hand, this story of new life, a new child born into the world, bringing this new hope, this new possibility. On the other hand, the same story, told and retold, iterated and reiterated in all of its familiarity. But right there in the thicket of tonight's readings of that familiar story we hear every year, there's always an excerpt of something else, the soaring moments from the opening chapter of the Gospel of John. And that tells us something different about this Jesus, something that adds a different flavor to the images of mangers and donkeys and wise men and flocks by night and little sheep running around. This is a different story of a different beginning, but also about Jesus, because this is a story that goes all the way back to the beginning, not the beginning of Jesus' life, which is where dear old Luke starts the story. For his opening of the tale, the great story of Jesus in the world, John goes way back to the dawning of time and creation itself, to the beginning of all things. The story John tells us is a story of something that isn't easily grasped or understood. It's a story of how there was nothing and then there was the Word. Not spoken human language, not the chatter that comes from our mouths, but God's own self-expression, bringing being into being. It's about the order of the universe, about the way everything is set up and meant to be, about how everything is suddenly new. And there's a little passage in there that's always striking as I read it. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. And that's how it was read tonight, and that's how it's in the Pew Bibles. But the Greek word is complicated. It means both not overcoming something, not controlling it, but it also means not grasping it, not understanding it. The darkness couldn't understand it and couldn't hold it back. And meditating on this passage of light and darkness and new beginnings this week, I was reminded, because my brain is weird, of a paradox deeper than the strange warmth of this Christmas evening. Because there was a time in the human history of our understanding of how things came to be that we believed the universe had never known a beginning. Back in the 18th and 19th century, the scientific consensus was that nothing was ever truly new. Creation was infinite. It had gone on forever in both time and space, and this arcane story that people told about a beginning was not true at all. But there was a challenge to this, and it's a challenge you can see if the sky clears up a bit and there are stars and moon. It's a challenge that comes with the night sky itself. Something called Olber's paradox, named, familiar I'm sure to everyone in this room, named after 19th century physicist Heinrich Wilhelm Matthias Olbers, who, in case you missed it, was a little bit German. The universe, he said, if it's infinitely large and infinitely ancient, if it has never been created, if it has never come into being, and it is filled evenly throughout, then there are going to be stars distributed everywhere. And Olbers suggested that if we step out into the night sky and that's true and we look up, then what we would see is not darkness. We would see infinite light. Because every point in an endless sky, there would be a star or a galaxy some distance away. The sky just a sea of radiant brilliance. But it's not. And from that intuition, he suggested that the stars, which are seemingly endless and infinite and unchanging, actually tell us there was a point when everything was made new. Those stars are not, much to the ultimate disappointment of Javert from Les Mis, silent sentinels that hold their course and their aim, that return and return and are always the same. They change. The salt speckled deep of the heavens tells us that there was a beginning. There was a time there were not. There was a time when everything was made new. And science took Olber's paradox towards the Big Bang, but I think it has other resonances this season. That there are stars in the night sky looking down where he lay tells us that things can be made new. It tells us there is in everything a hope for new birth, that there is the possibility for grace and mercy and transformation in all of our lives, and that is what Jesus came for. Both John and Luke tell us those stories of beginning. In the dawn of light and existence itself, and the firelight flickering in the warmth of the manger, we are now telling a story of a new thing that happened. It happened in the life of a tiny infant, and it means we see things differently. We see the promise of a human being who would grow up and give themselves over fully to God's purpose. God's love for all of us. We see in that man the promise of the Creator in a person that is born for us, as every new moment is born for us, in our lives, given to us. Because there can be beginnings, we can see hope for restoration, hope for new peace without end. We encounter that this evening, no matter where we are in life, no matter what darkness rests on us. It does not grasp the light. It does not hold it and control it. Things can be new. And in that realization, it can become a vital part of the change that Christmas is meant to work in each of us. We become different people when we accept that truth. It changes the arc of our lives. In that promise of beginnings, in the promise of transformation in all of our hearts, is the hope of this night, of tomorrow, and the nights to come. Let that Christmas hope of beginning live in you. See the world through the eyes of its birth in you. And let it be a Merry Christmas for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
We've gathered here and we've sung and we've heard the story told. And now, knowing that that story is a story of new beginnings, we're going to walk out those doors, which will both be open, so we'll flow out neatly. We'll gather outside, and then once we have all gathered, we'll sing our joy at the possibility of newness and beginnings that this season brings to the world. Meaning, Joy to the World is on the back of your bulletin. You got the lyrics there, we'll go out there and sing. So right now, let's go out into the world and share the joy that comes knowing that Christ gives us in his birth the opportunity to be reborn ourselves. Let's go out and share the joy of that Christmas truth. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. Today, in our joyous celebrations, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.